Damn, you're good. Wow.
Just made my day.
Internationally acclaimed singer, actor, performer Maureen O'Flynn is a native of the Berkshires. She's going to perform her brilliantly reviewed cabaret show on Saturday afternoon, September 22nd, to benefit Riverbrook's education and training programs at the Crossroads. According to O'Flynn, is a semi-autobiographical collection from the American Songbook, highlighting just wonderful composers. There's Sondheim, there's Porter, Strauss, Weill. She is accompanied by pianist and music director and arranger Don Rebick.
Don Rebick.
And the event will start at 3 o'clock with a silent auction and a reception, and the concert will kick off just after 4 o'clock, taking place at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox. We always love when she's here, and we welcome Maureen O'Flynn to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe.
It's a delight. You have you've been working on this show in some way, shape, or form for a while.
Yeah, for just over a year. I opened it last year, just around Hurricane. Which
Irene.
Hurricane was it? Irene?
Yeah.
I can't remember the names. The one that hit us at the end of August. So I lost one show, but we opened it at Crissy Farm. It was a work in progress. Took it to New York for 4 or 5 shows at Feinstein's, which streamlined it there. I just did it in April at the new cabaret club in Indianapolis called the, I think it's called Cabaret at the Columbia. So it's the same show in some respects. It's much more streamlined. There's, I think, 3 or 4 less numbers than there were when I started out. And I'm more comfortable doing it. I'm more off the cuff. I ad lib a little bit more when I'm speaking. So it's a good show. It's a lot of fun.
What is there about? I mean, there's always the audience, but then you look at a cabaret audience.
Much different.
Different, yeah. Because the mood's different.
Absolutely.
Right?
The biggest difference is that as a performer on stage, you're pretty much taught to have a fourth wall in front of you, and not you're in a character. You're in a show. You're not supposed to be looking at the audience. In a cabaret, you're supposed to make eye contact. That was the weirdest part of it for me, was making eye contact with people, talking to them, seeing them throughout the whole show. But I came to love it immediately. It's such an immediate connection. It's such a participation of both performer and audience.
Given your wide repertoire, do you have to change it around at all so that okay, we're going to look at American standards, or I have to maybe shy away from this part of my career, or doesn't it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm teaching now, and I'm telling all my students there's really no difference in when you sing music theater, when you sing opera, when you sing cabaret. It's just a matter of how much air you use and how much, and the style that you sing in. For me, it's going kind of back to the beginning. This is the stuff that I grew up singing and hearing.
Yeah.
Was that your question?
Well, sort of, in the sense of, I mean, if you're in a cabaret and then all of a sudden you belt out something from an opera, does that fit?
No.
Right. So it has an effect on the repertoire of what you put into the show.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is much. It's cabaret music. It's musical theater. It's American Songbook. It's some of its folk song. Some of its pop song. No opera.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because your repertoire is so wide, you have done so many different things, and I would think there's probably, you know, we are who we are, and we probably, you know, you want to show off a little bit. Hey, I can do this. Like what we just heard. It was like, man. And then, but obviously you get to do that with these songs as well.
Yeah. I get to use a different part of me. In the cabaret setting, and I get to be a little more personal about it. It's coming from me. It's about me, as opposed to being some other character on stage.
I was reading the you were nice enough to send over some notes yesterday, and I was reading the I just got a kick out of the word semi-autobiographical. I just think that's hilarious, because that you know, that's just evasive enough. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm not sure who came up with that semi-autobiographical, but it's accurate in that, you know, you're supposed to do themes for your shows. And when I was starting off doing this, developing it, the advice was, you know, do what you know. Well,
yeah,
I know me. So it kind of is about the journey that I started on and where the journey's been taking me. And I'm apparently still at the crossroads. I think my next show will be called Still Here at the Crossroads. But I think that's kind of this, the state of where everybody is at this point in time.
Well, shouldn't we always be at the crossroads, looking in both directions, making sure something's not going to come and hit us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I find interest in the fact of what you mentioned early on, that you come and you do the show here, you do the show in New York, and then you bring it on the road to what, St. Louis?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Yeah. And, you know, is there a difference in the audience?
There's a little bit difference in the audiences in the hinterlands out in, yeah. in the Midwest. They probably would have liked a few more standards. I'm guessing about this. I mean, it was a very happy crowd, I'm happy to say, but I did get one comment from somebody that maybe you could have put, you know, we're not New York, you could have put something in that we actually have heard before.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because you have a very New York theater audience that knows this stuff and says, okay, you know, great. And then, and the reason I ask this is because I've heard this from other cabaret performers of even bringing a show from the city up here, that sometimes there has to be the occasional switch.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't actually have that feeling about the Berkshires. I may be a little bit biased, but I think the Berkshires are pretty sophisticated in their tastes, and there's a lot of people who are always back and forth between New York and Boston and the transplants. And that's one of the beauties of the Berkshires. It's smack dab in the middle of culture.
Kudos for you. I believe that you should work with your showbiz friends and making sure that all shows start around 4 o'clock. This is a great time.
I really like it because I get to have dinner afterwards and not have to go right to bed.
Have a nice, instead of dinner and a show, do show then dinner.
Yeah.
It's much better.
When I was a young performer, I used to hate matinees. I despised matinees. I used to think if we were supposed to have matinees, it would be dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But as I got older, that's exactly what we love about it. Get up. The day's not so interminable, first of all.
No.
Performance days are just interminable if you have to wait until 8 o'clock at night. This way you get up, you just have a little lunch, and you go and do your show, and then you have some dinner and a good evening. So it's
no
great.
Intermission in this thing either,
no
right?
intermission.
There you go.
It's about an hour and 15 minutes.
Get them
max.
In, get them out, have a great time.
Yes. And there's going to be tickets available at the door, so people, if they haven't gotten tickets, they can just come and buy them there.
I'll give all that information out in just a second, too. But this, we should mention, is a benefit. It's taking place at Shakespeare and Company, and you are doing this as a benefit for Riverbrook's education and training programs. Give us what is Riverbrook, and what do they do?
Riverbrook Residence in Stockbridge is the oldest residential community for women with developmental disabilities in the Northeast. It's been around for 55 years. It is an ongoing lifestyle for these women that would otherwise not have this kind of living possibility. They have a sense of camaraderie and a comfort of shared lives by being in this fantastic house in one of the most beautiful spots in Stockbridge and the Berkshires. They're very integrated into the community. It's not like the stereotypical institutionalizations of you know, many, many, many years ago. These women are participating in the community. They do flower bouquets that end up at Elm Street Market in Stockbridge that are gone probably by noon. They paint stone coasters. They do knitting projects. They have beaded jewelry. They sell at crafts fairs. They work at the town hall. They take care of getting the mail to all the people who work at the town hall. So they're integrated into the community. They're actually contributing participants. They have organic gardening on their premises where they live off of. They live off of their produce. It's a phenomenal organization. And as I think I said to you right before we started the interview, that one of the joys for me to be able to do this is that it's not about me. This is not about me and my voice. It's about helping these women have their voice be recognized, be worthy and valued in the community. So it takes kind of a lot of a pressure off of me because I'm not asking people to come to hear me. I'm asking people to come and hear me for the sake of giving voice to other people who need it, need our help.
And as I said to you, it's a twofer because you get to help this great organization and yet also have a wonderful afternoon and get to hear you do what you do so well. When this is done, and do you have a day job in your sights? I mean, is there
I have so many jobs right now. I don't know what the heck my name is. I get up one morning and I'm a cabaret singer, and the next morning I'm an opera singer, and the next morning I'm a voice teacher. So I'm kind of schizophrenic, and occasionally I'm doing an audition to try to get some theater jobs. So I think I'm doing what everybody else is doing. I'm multitasking to beat the band, and networking everywhere. But yeah, I'm a little schizophrenic.
Just doing a little bit of everything.
Pretty much.
Do you like is there something about being in a show, being in a company, and having that daily, okay, this is, you have this gig for this amount
of
time.
I love that. Yeah. That's when now going off on a job, for instance, I'm going off to do a Marriage of Figaro in Orlando in October, November. That's going to be vacation for me, because I'm just doing one job. And I'm a theater creature. I mean, I really like to be on stage, and I like to be acting, and I like to be a part of an ensemble. That being said, I also love to be singing these songs and be on stage with my either my music director only, which is in this case my pianist only, as opposed to having my three-piece band as well with us on it. So it's all good. It's all a joy.
Good stuff. You can find out more about tickets by going to this phone number. It's 866-366-1131. 866-366-1131. Tickets are available at the door as well. Again, it's taking place tomorrow afternoon at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox. There is a silent auction and a reception taking place at 3 o'clock. The actual concert will start at 4:15, so you can come for all of it or just show up for the show and have a great time. And you can also find out more information about Riverbrook and their good works as well as this event by going to riverbrook.org for more information on what they do and how you can help them out. Riverbrook.org for more information. Maureen O'Flynn, you'll be at Shakespeare and Company tomorrow afternoon. It's a great pleasure to have you here talking about it, and I thank you so much for coming over. It's always a delight to see you.
Likewise, Joe. Thank you. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, WAMC, for always helping us out with these kind of events.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure, and best of luck tomorrow. Again, go to riverbrook.org for more information, or call this number 866-366-1131. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.